occasionally I feel the need to apologize. I do so now. The ad that played at the top of the hour as we signed off and before SRN News was an elderly woman, at least someone mimicking an elderly woman's voice, if not an elderly woman, talking about the greatness of Alex Jones, and he was a truth teller. And then it went on to say that pharmaceutical companies are poisoning you. And then the answer is longevity. That was despicable. That ad was absolutely repulsive. I'm embarrassed that it was played as part of this program. I may, on a future date and then not too distant future, share with you the truth about longevity. I'm not going to do so at this moment because in the third hour of this program, we turn to Yahweh's testimony, and it's vastly more important. But I do feel a need to apologize. That was pathetic. This is from Devadim. We've been reading from Devadim to establish a proper perspective, to help those who are listening to this program as they attempt to determine whether or not they should trust Paul or trust God. Having a perspective of what God has to say about his Torah, of what he has to say about his covenant. Because if you don't know what God has to say about his Torah, about his covenant, about what he is encouraging us to do, then you would have no basis for knowing whether or not Paul lied when he wrote his letters telling all who would listen to him that the Torah was obsolete, that it was of the flesh, that it enslaved, that it no longer had any validity, and that it could not save. If you don't know that Yahweh, which is God's name, said exactly the opposite, you could easily be fooled by Paul. So we have spent the last hour of this program over the last week reviewing some of what Yahweh had to say about his Torah. Now, we could spend an hour every day for the next 10 years and not share everything that God had to say about his Torah. But at least we're establishing a bit of a perspective and foundation for our listeners. You know, in Devadim 4, this is a chapter of Devadim we've spent a lot of time covering. 39 and 40 said as follows. So, you should recognize and acknowledge this day, returning your heart to God, because indeed, Yahweh, he is Almighty God. In the heavens above and on the earth below, there is no other. You should observe, closely examining and carefully considering his clearly communicated and prescribed prescriptions of what we need to do to live, to be cut into the covenant. And you should observe the terms and conditions of his binding covenant contract, which relationally I have instructed and guided you this day. Because as a result of the relationship, he is good for you and beneficial to you, and also for your children after you, for the express purpose of elongating your days. This then is the Torah. It's the teaching which beneficially he placed before Moshe and the children of Yisrael, those who engage and endure with God. This is the eternal and enduring witness, the restoring testimony, the clearly communicated prescriptions, the means used to achieve justice and resolve disputes, which God spoke to Moshe and to the children of Yisrael when he led them away from oppression and from judgment in Egypt. Yes, friends, this is the Torah. the Torah, is Yahweh's enduring witness, his restoring testimony. It comprises his clearly communicated prescriptions that are etched into stone that cut us into the covenant. It is the one place we can go to learn the means used to achieve justice and resolve disputes. It is those mitzvot that were lived out in human history as Yahweh led his children out of Mitzrayim, the realm of human religious and political oppression, into the promised land. These mitzvot have names. The doorway to this path from human oppression through religion and politics and militarism to heaven is called Passover, Pesach. Matzah is unyeasted bread where we are perfected. Bekorim is the third step along this journey home. It means firstborn children, which leads to Shavuah, the promise of the Sabbath, the promise of seven, where we are enriched and empowered. The fifth step on this journey away from oppression, away from judgment, is Teruah, where we shout out a warning and shout out for joy, telling people that religions and politics and such schemes lead in the wrong direction and that Yahweh has a plan, a path, the only means of salvation. As Glenn said in the second hour of our program, with the religion of Islam becoming so menacing, Israel has but one hope. Her warplanes, her bullets, her bombs, her missiles are no longer going to defend the promised land. There is only one means, and that is to return to Yahweh. And that is what Yom Kippurim is all about. The day of reconciliations when Yisrael and Yehuda are reconciled into the covenant with Yahweh so that together we can all camp out with God on Sukkah. These are the terms and conditions of the binding covenant contract, the mitzvah, the clearly communicated prescriptions of what we should do in this life to live and to be cut into that covenant, and the means to achieve justice and resolve disputes, which beneficially Yahweh, your God, instructed and guided you to learn from and to teach. What should be done in the realm that you are all going to pass into as an inheritance for the intent and purpose that you really come to revere and respect Yahweh, your God, by observing all of his clearly communicated prescriptions of what we should do in life to live and his terms and conditions of the covenant, which I have instructed and directed you individually, your children and your children's children, all of the days of your lives, and for the purpose of elongating your days. And so that you listen, Yisrael, those who engage and endure with the God, and so that you are focused and observant, therefore and thereby acting upon that which relationally is good and beneficial, that which will cause you to substantially increase, to grow dramatically, and to become exceedingly great and powerful, that which is consistent with that which Yahweh, your God, has promised and affirmed to your fathers on your behalf. Yisrael, every individual who engages and endures with God, listen to and hear Yahweh, your God. Yahweh is one. You should choose to truly and totally love Yahweh, your God, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your capability. These words which I am guiding you with this day, they shall come to exist and always be on your heart. Your goal should be to choose to teach them by reciting them to your children. And you should consistently speak about them during your life and inside your home with your family and as you walk, traveling through life along the path. And when you lie down to rest and when you stand up. And you should choose to fasten them as a sign on the back of your hand, influencing your actions. And you should come to exist with these words between your eyes, influencing your perspective. And you should write them on the door frames of your home and upon your gates. Indeed, you should listen to the voice and to the invitation of Yahweh, your God, for the purpose of approaching by examining and considering the terms and conditions of his binding covenant contract and his clearly communicated prescriptions and inscribed recommendations in what we should do in this life to live, which are permanently memorialized in the written scroll of this, the Torah. And that is because you will return and be restored to Yahweh, your God, with all of your heart and with all of your soul. All of this is from Devarim, the 6th chapter, the 30th chapter. For indeed, the utterly powerful and exceedingly great word of your God facilitates your approach and brings you near, should be ingrained in your speech and placed in your heart, so that you can engage with him. And when it came to be, just when Moshe completely finished writing the words of this, the Torah, the teaching, upon the Almighty's written scroll, successfully completing the eternal witness and restoring testimony, Moshe instructed the Lowi, lifting up and carrying Yahweh's Ark of the family-oriented covenant, saying, accept and grasp hold of this, the written scroll of the Torah, and place this alongside Yahweh's Ark, which is enlightened free will, of the covenant relationship. Your God, he will always exist there for you in the enduring witness and restoring testimony, if you're a Christian, if you have an open mind, if you're receptive to Yahweh's testimony. This statement found in Devarim, which means words, the concluding book of the Torah, 31, 24 through 26, absolutely devastates your religion. And it came to be just as Moshe completely finished writing the words of the Torah upon the Almighty's written scroll, successfully completing the eternal witness and restoring testimony. Now I'm going to go on in a moment, but let's have a full stop there for just a second or two. The Torah is comprised of words. Those words are written on a scroll. That scroll is the Almighty's. The Torah is Yahweh's. It's not Moshe's. To besmirch the Torah and its words is to besmirch Yahweh. It's not just Yahweh's Torah. It's his eternal witness and restoring testimony. Yeah. Eternal witness means that it didn't exist for a brief period of time. Restoring testimony means that it is the source of our restoration and salvation. Those comments are in absolute conflict with Paul's letters, which means either God lied here or God lied when he allegedly told Paul to besmirch the Torah's ability to save and its longevity. In one of the two places, either God did not inspire Paul and Paul is lying, or God is lying. I mean, those really are the only two choices, folks. The Torah cannot be an eternal witness and restoring testimony. The Torah cannot be Yahweh's and be, as Paul says of it, that it had a limited shelf life, that it has been obsoleted, that it was a harsh disciplinarian, that it enslaved, that it was incapable of saving, based upon this testimony. But what follows is equally condemning of Christianity. You see, Moshe instructed the Lowi, the Levites, who were carrying Yahweh's Ark of the family-oriented covenant relationship, and Ark Aaron means informed, enlightened free will. He told those who were carrying Yahweh's Ark of the Covenant, and it's not arks, and it's not covenants. There's only one. Said, accept and grasp hold of the written scroll of the Torah, and place this alongside Yahweh's Ark, meaning enlightened free will, of the covenant relationship, singular and absolute. The Torah and the covenant are synonymous. Place this alongside the Ark of the Covenant. You want to participate in the covenant? The means to do so is through the Torah. Your God, He will always exist for you in the eternal witness and restoring testimony. It's the Torah. It is the Torah that is the eternal witness and the restoring testimony, and it is being associated with, being placed alongside the Ark of the Covenant and its mercy seat, the means to be vindicated, the means to engage in Yahweh's Bereth Covenant family. The Torah provides that means. It provides that guidance. It alone makes these things possible. It's devastating. Absolutely devastating. If you're a Christian, it means that your religion is unworthy, that it's false, that it's based upon a lie. And this amazing thing is that Christians carry a book that they call the Bible. And it begins with the Torah. And the Torah in their Bible destroys everything that's found in their Christian New Testament that came from the pen of Paul, who dominates it. They're in utter and complete conflict. Remember what we said about internal conflict? While it is possible to lie without internal conflict, if there is internal conflict in what you're saying, you are absolutely lying. Well, there's an eternal conflict between Paul's letters and Yahweh's Torah. In the first book after Moshe's Torah, we find Yahusha's Torah. Yahweh introduced the living embodiment of his Torah by name. I'm going to read now from the book of Yahusha. It means Yahweh saves. It's been corrupted to Joshua. Begin in the 8th chapter, about halfway through. Later, therefore, Yahusha recited and proclaimed all of the words of the Torah, the blessings of peace and prosperity, and also the slights and denunciations, just as all of these things were written in the written scroll of the Torah. There did not exist a word from all that which Moshe had instructed and directed, which Yahusha did not read, recite, and call out, proclaim, in a straightforward manner, in the presence of the entire assembled community of Yisrael, of those individuals who engage and endure with God, including the women and the little children, as well as the foreigners from other races and places who were walking among them. Yahusha read every word of the Torah. He recited them all in a straightforward manner in the presence of the entire assembled community. And there was one Torah for the men and the women, for the old and for little children, one Torah for naturally born Israelites and foreigners from other races and other places. Then Yahusha wrote these words in God's Torah, which means that Torah means teaching, and it is Yah's means of directing us, of guiding us, and that his Torah therefore permeates everything that he has to tell us. So now that we've heard from Yahweh through his prophet Yahshayah, and his co-worker Moshe, and his namesake Yahusha, let's consider what God inspired Dod, who is the man errantly known as David, to reveal to us in a song. Now, before we begin, I want our listeners to appreciate the fact that Dod, who is misnamed David, of all the people who have lived over the past 6,000 years, including Adam and Chawa, including Noah, including Abraham, Ishak, and Jacob, including Shemuel and Yosef, including even the most extraordinary prophets, people like Yahshayah and Yirmiyah, Zechariah, including the disciples, Shimon Kefesh and Yahochanan. Of all the people who have lived over the past 6,000 years on planet Earth, since Yahweh expelled Adam and Chawa from the Garden of Eden, and in just a few years he's going to readmit his covenant children back into the garden, but now the garden will be remade in the entirety of the earth. In all of that time, the person that Yahweh has loved the most is Dod. And it's not just that he loved Dod more than anyone else and enjoyed his company more than anyone else. But when Yahweh himself returns to earth to establish the millennial kingdom, which will begin in just 19 years from now, that when he does that, he actually equates his throne on earth to that of this man, Dod. And because it's all because this man didn't live a perfect life, he violated the Torah's instructions every which way. But it's because this man closely examined and carefully considered everything that Yahweh wrote in his Torah, came to understand God's teaching and responded to it, and did so intellectually, passionately, with great conviction. And so when this man, the man that God loves more than anyone else who has ever lived, speaks about his understanding of Yahweh's Torah and how to properly observe it and respond to it and benefit from it, we ought to listen with that known. On behalf of the Eternal and Glorious One, a song of Dod, of love. The heavens quantify the unit of measure exactly and accurately of the manifestation of power of God. Its spreading out and expanse makes conspicuous his handiwork. Day unto day pours out answers, and night unto night reveals knowledge, which leads to understanding. Nothing exists without the word. Nothing exists when and where the spoken and written message of the voice which calls out is corrupted or is negated, ceasing to be heard, no longer regarded or understood. His going forth is from the uttermost part of the heavens, or the spiritual realm. His arrivals are unto the distant end of time, and nothing is hidden from his light. Yahweh's Torah is complete and entirely perfect, returning, restoring, and transforming the soul. Yahweh's enduring testimony and restoring witness is trustworthy and reliable, verifiable and dependable, making understanding simple for the open-minded. Yahweh's directions are right, causing the heart to rejoice. Yahweh's terms and conditions are morally pure and purifying, shining a light towards understanding. Revering and respecting Yahweh is cleansing and restoring, sustaining and enabling us forever. And the means to exercise good judgment and to resolve disputes of Yahweh are trustworthy. They are reliable, enduring, and dependable. They are holy, vindicating, and righteous. This which I have heard and we have known, our fathers communicated to us in writing. These things were not concealed from their children, from one generation to the next, or to the last. They are recounted and recorded. Yahweh's glorious love songs, his power and influence, and the wonderful and astounding things which as a result of the relationship he has done and will continue to do. He took a stand to establish an enduring witness to this restoring testimony with Jacob, bringing about the Torah with Yisrael and those who engage and endure with God, which as a result of the relationship, he instructed and directed our fathers to make known to their children. And so, for the express purpose that the next as well as the last generation would come to know, to be acquainted with, and to understand. These children will have children who will rise up, stand upright, and take a stand, and they will relate and proclaim this to their children. And they will place in them their trust and reliance upon God, and they will not forget or improperly respond to God's work. And so the terms and conditions of this binding covenant contract, they will save them. And they will not be like their fathers, a generation too stubborn to change, a generation who was defiantly rebellious and embittered, whose hearts were not prepared, and who was not true or nurtured by God's Spirit. The children of the northern kingdom submitted and they yielded to those who betrayed them while wielding their weapons. And they were overthrown and destroyed in the day that the battle was raged. They did not observe the covenant relationship with God. And with regard to his Torah teaching, they resisted and refused to walk. Yahweh, make known to me your ways. Teach me your path. Direct me by trusting and relying on you. Teach me, because indeed you are the God of my salvation. With you I confidently expect and anticipate deliverance every day. Yahweh, remember and invoke your mercy and your steadfast love and your unfailing kindness, for indeed they are from time immemorial. The sins of my youth and rebellion, and do not remember, forget them, as your love for me is remembered on account of your goodness, Yahweh. Yahweh, the Almighty, is good. He's beneficial and generous and always right. Therefore, he is the source of teaching and instruction. And he guides and directs sinners along the way. Yes, his Torah is a book for sinners. It's written for flawed individuals like you and me. It is the means to our reconciliation. He enables the way of the unpretentious and sincere who respond and who answer his call. With his means to achieve justice and to resolve disputes, he provides the information to teach those who appropriately respond to his way. All of the mannerisms and conduct of Yahweh are merciful and beyond reproach, and they are trustworthy and reliable for those who are preserved by his family-oriented covenant relationship and by his enduring and restoring witness. As a result of your name, Yahweh, you will choose to genuinely and completely forgive my sin. Hence, whatever individual respects and reveres Yahweh, Yahweh will teach him in the way that he should choose his soul in the most favorable, pleasing, and festive circumstance, will dwell and endure, and his descendants will inherit the realm. Every close and intimate fellowship with Yahweh is certain for those who respect and revere him because of his family-oriented covenant relationship, which he makes known to him. My eyes will continually be upon Yahweh, because indeed he himself will come, removing the restraints from my feet, turning me around and preparing me to have mercy on me as a unique child, and I am humbled. As a result of Yahweh, the steps of each individual are prepared and firmly established, and his way is a pleasurable experience. Indeed, though he falls, he is not cast down. Indeed, Yahweh is sustaining and upholding him in his hand. Every day, he is merciful and compassionate, accompanying his children, kneeling down in love to bless them. And so I encourage you to consider acting upon and actively engaging with that which is good, beneficial, and generous. As a result, live forever. For indeed, Yahweh loves good judgment, the process of evaluating evidence so as to render a fair verdict which resolves disputes. So he will not abandon those who steadfastly seek his perfection. Throughout eternity, they will be watched over and cared for, but the offspring of the wicked, they'll be cut off. The upright, the vindicated, and the righteous will inherit the realm. They will live forever within it. The mouth of the vindicated passionately and boldly proclaims wisdom, providing the capacity to understand. Their tongue speaks the word of exercising good judgment and justly resolving disputes. The Torah teaches of this God is the heart, and so his steps will never waver. The Torah teaching of his God is placed in his heart, guiding his steps so that they never waver. There is one engraved prescription for living, for all who approach, for all of the assembled community, for all of those of different races and places. There is only one approach. The clearly communicated and inscribed prescriptions for living together is everlasting and eternal. It's for all generations. It is exactly the same for the foreigner and the newcomer. This was, this is, and this will always exist as the means to approach the presence of Yahweh. One Torah and one means to resolve disputes shall continually exist for you to approach, for newcomers and for different people from different races and places, with all of you living together. There is one Torah. There is one means to approach God. There is one family. There is one God. Yahweh's Torah is complete and entirely perfect, returning, restoring, and transforming the soul. Yahweh's enduring testimony and restoring witness is trustworthy and reliable, verifiable, and dependable, making understanding simple for the open-minded. Yahweh's directions are right, causing the heart to rejoice. Yahweh's terms and conditions of his covenant are morally pure and purifying, shining a light towards understanding. Revering and respecting Yahweh, cleansing and restoring, sustaining and establishing us forever. The means to exercise good judgment and to resolve disputes of Yahweh are trustworthy and reliable, enduring and dependable. They are wholly vindicating and righteous. If Yahweh is telling the truth, and he is, then every word that Paul wrote was a lie. If Yahweh is telling the truth about his Torah, about our salvation, about vindicating us, about it being easy to understand, about it being transforming and restoring, entirely perfect, then everything Paul had to say was not just a lie. It was the antithesis of what is true. And so is the religion based upon his letters.